just 1 week away from their opener with North Carolina. So I welcome on voice of the Gophers for the Learfield Radio Network, Mike Grimm joins the show. Mike, as always, thanks for the time. A pleasure, as it always is. Mike, you finally got to be around the team a little bit, I assume. At least they opened it up to media more so the last couple of weeks than when I last talked to you. And obviously, yeah, the talk of the town is Max Brosmer. Greg Harbaugh yesterday said that he's exceeded expectations. What have you learned about Max Brosmer over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think he has progressed well. I thought he looked fine in spring ball. You know, I think when we talked back then, I said he looked okay. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking that he looked to me like one of those Northwestern quarterbacks that on the years that they're really good, you look at him and you say, gosh, he's not 6'5", he doesn't have an NFL arm, but yet at the end of the game, Northwestern somehow beat you, and he, the quarterback, Mike Kafka, Brett Bazinet, I'm just trying to think of some of those guys, Clayton Thorson more recently, and all of a sudden they're like 22 for 30 for 288 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no mistakes, and he looked like that kind of guy in the spring, and then I think in the fall he's actually advanced past that a little bit. Now, how will that look when the bullets start flying? Mm-hmm. Figuratively, of course, in relation to Big Ten play from when he was at New Hampshire trying to make that transition up a level. And if he can make that transition, this team's got a chance to be pretty good. And I do share the optimism. And yet, as a Minnesota sports follower, you have to be guarded with that optimism, it seems, no matter whether it's Gophers or Twins or Vikings or what have you, just because the Minnesota sports situation hasn't been the most optimistic in the last 40 years.
And that's obvious. Now, here's an interesting thing that I thought when it comes to the offense. This is a very experienced offensive line. You have Darius Taylor coming back. And it was almost, to me, it's like very similar to what the Vikings have when it comes to Sam Darnold. It feels like Max Brosmer just has to be good enough because he's got a lot of talent around him. Do you think that's accurate?
I think so. I do think, it's interesting because I think there's been this thought, and I've actually put a lot of thought in it in my mind as well in relation to what Brosmer has to do and do they have to throw more. And there's been a lot of stats pumped out there I see on Twitter and different things that, that the Gophers, well, we know they don't throw the ball very often, but there's stats out there like Michigan won it all last year and they had about the same ratio throwing to running that Minnesota did. I don't necessarily think they got to go throw the ball 50 times. What I think has to change with this group, and I think Brosmer brings this, and Greg Harbaugh hit on it yesterday, almost word for word what my theory has been for a while, and that is I don't think they have to throw more. I do think they have to throw on throwing downs, and they haven't done that much. They threw a lot on first down to try to break tendencies. That didn't go well, put them behind the sticks. And then too many times the last couple of years, the Gophers have just waved the white flag, and on 3rd and 8, they've just handed the ball off. Mm. And particularly last year when the defense wasn't that great, you have to extend drives. You have to score points. You can't just say, okay, we're going to hand it off on 3rd and 7. And particularly the last 4 games when you're talking about, all the running backs got hurt and you're playing, Jordan Newbin, who, in essence started the year as the 5th-string running back, and God bless him, he had, some nice runs and some good games. But, he's not Darius Taylor, and he's not Muhammad Ibrahim, and he's not Rodney Smith, but yet they gave it to him a lot, and 3rd and 7 became 4th and 5, and they punted and put the defense back on the field. And Harbaugh yesterday, basically, I think the quote, if it's not word for word, I'm pretty close to it, is everyone in the nation throws on 3rd and 7. We have to start. and that's what I've been saying all summer to people. I don't think they have to throw 50 times, but for gosh sakes, throw when it's 3rd and 6. I mean, Winona High School, Lakeville North, the junior highs are throwing on 3rd and 7. There's no reason a Big Ten team shouldn't be throwing on 3rd and 7. It doesn't have to be all the time. And I get it when you had Muhammad Ibrahim. He did. He had a sneaky way to, if it's third and six, he'd get you 8 yards. And they did. He was a stick and a chain mover, and they were 52% on third down when Muhammad Ibrahim was a senior 2 years ago. Last year, that dipped to 35%, and it was just too many times they literally and figuratively punted figuratively on third down and literally on fourth down on third and seven. So I think they realize it. And my other theory or thought, and I think we talked about this the last time I was on, is they were very, very aggressive in targeting Max Brosmer. They wanted him from the get-go. They told him that he wouldn't, you know, they don't do this much, but they told him, you don't have to compete for the job. It's yours. You're going to be the starter. We're only going to bring in one. They did bring in a Virginia Tech transfer, but he was told he'd be a backup and, you know, potential starter down the road. But this is Max Brosmer's team. So they were very aggressive. They've talked glowingly about him now since he got here in January. Let's let the young man go win a game and even lose a game. If he loses a game, it's okay. But you brought him in here as the guy that you should say, we're going to put the game in this guy's hands. Coaches don't win games. Players do. And I think too much there was a time at which they just didn't feel like they wanted to put the game in the quarterback's hands. And it seems to me, based on what they're saying, they've got a guy that they can do that to and let him go win you a couple games. Because if you've got great quarterback play, you can turn what might have been a 5-7 year into 8-4 relatively easy, quite frankly, if you got a great quarterback. Now, whether that translates and whether he's a great quarterback remains to be seen, but you went out and got him, so let's see. And if it turns out it's not, fine, but give him a shot. You know, give him a shot. He throws an interception on the first series of downs on Thursday night when North Carolina's in town. They can't shut it down. They can't say, right, well, it looks like we can't trust him. They got to let him, as they like to say, you know, failing is growth. They got to let him fail and grow from it, and we'll see how it goes.
So there's all this talk of the offense, and rightfully so. You got the new quarterback. You got Darius Taylor returning, as we mentioned, experienced offensive line. But what about this defense here, Mike? And I'll mention we're speaking with Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers. I mean, this defense loses some key players from last season, Tyler Newbin most in particular. This is a very young secondary, it seems. I know they got a couple of transfers in. That one kid from TCU, McMillan, is here in that secondary. I expect he plays a little bit more than we would expect. But what is the defensive expectation for this football team coming into the year?
Yeah, you know what? The main thing to me is they got to stop the run, and that does include the secondary. Guys have to be good tacklers from the secondary. They've got to be good in run support. They have to be, though, really good in that front seven. And the last four games of last year, the last three games, they were the worst rush defense in the Big Ten, and that had not been the case in previous years. Part of it was, I really truly believe this. I think that Illinois game zapped them. It happens. It's not, it shouldn't be a character flaw or viewed as if they quit. I don't think they did that. But when you have the Big Ten West there to win, you're coming off of wins against Iowa and Michigan State. You're in first place heading in November. It looks like you're well on your way. You're a 98%, 99% chance to beat Illinois with a minute to go. And then they march down the field with the backup quarterback in three plays and hit a 50-yard bomb to win the game. They never recovered. They got pummeled by Purdue the next week. Purdue was not good last year, and they ran for over 300 yards on them. And then the next week, Ohio State does what Ohio State did. They put, I don't know, 200 or 300 yards on them, and then Wisconsin just basically buried them with the ground attack after Minnesota got up 14, was it 14-3, 14-10, something like that in that game. And so the last three games skewed the season stats a little bit, rushing-wise. They can't have that. If they have that, then Max Brosmer could be Joe Montana, and it might not matter. You know, to me, the number one single thing still is Brosmer. How he transitions will be the to me, the number one determining factor, how good they'll be. Stopping the run, I think, is a close second. They can't do what they did in November last year. They got to be closer to what they had been in, you know, 2021, 22, and 23, when they were really stout on defense and, you know, among the top 10 in the country in yards per play allowed.
I did see that defensive coordinator Corey Heatherman, he said they want to play fast, aggressive, and hit violently. I like that a lot. I mean, what can you say about what you've learned with the new defensive coordinator on this in this program over the last couple of weeks, Mike?
Yeah, I think the good news is there won't be much of a transition. I'm not saying that he and Joe Rossi were identical, but they come from the same cloth. They both coached with Greg Schiano. They both coached with Joe Harris-Simiak, who's now the defensive coordinator at Rutgers. He was the Minnesota safeties coach when he was the head coach at Maine. Corey Heatherman was his defensive coordinator. So it's kind of all in the same family tree, so to speak. So I think from the basics, a lot of the fundamentals, a lot of the schematics, there wasn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, teaching American kids to speak English. This was, or to speak French. This was American kids who speak English, now maybe speaking English just a little bit differently, but it wasn't a full transition, a full translation. That part of it's going to be good. I do think it looks like, at least in his history, Corey Heatherman blitzes more. He was a defensive coordinator at Maine, as I mentioned. He went from there to James Madison. The current Indiana coach, Kirk Cignetti, stole him away from Maine and brought him to James Madison when they moved up a level. And, you know, we know how good James Madison was. They good enough to get this guy the Indiana job, and I think they were 12-1 last year. Now, he was not with them last year. He left there after 3 years and went to Rutgers, and Rutgers had one of the top defenses in the country last year. So I think the resume speaks for itself. I think his track record shows he does like the blitz a little more than Joe Rossi. We shall see. I also think he's got some really nice pieces. I was surprised the Senior Bowl invites are not easy to get. They limit it because they want to really dial in on the nation's top players. There were 11 guys on the watch list released yesterday. Doesn't mean all 11 are going to go to the Senior Bowl, but 11 players just that the Senior Bowl is keeping an eye on. And Jaw Joyner is certainly one of those guys. He's going to be a future NFLer. If he can figure out how to run support a little better and become an every down player, he will likely be the first gopher, in my opinion, to get double-digit sacks in a season since Willie VanDesteeg did that back in, like, I don't know, 2008, I want to say, 2007, somewhere in there. The Gophers have had some good pass rushers. Carter Coughlin comes to mind and some others, but they haven't had a guy get double digits for a while. And frankly, in school history, there haven't been a lot. It's hard, but I think Jaw Joyner could certainly become the first in a while if he becomes an every-down player.
Without mentioning Max Brosmer, because obviously he's the biggest key, but if you take Brosmer out of the picture, assuming he is good enough this season, assuming he can be applicable as a quarterback, you know, what's going to be this team's Achilles heel? Where is the other room of weakness that we got to be sure they shore up throughout this early part of the season?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think it's stopping the run, which they really struggled, particularly in November last year, on. If that is shored up, if they play fast, aggressive, and hit violently, as you mentioned, then that Achilles heel will be gone. You know, depth probably a little bit. This is, I think, a deeper team than most, but look, at places like Minnesota, Iowa, Northwestern, you know, Northwestern kind of has what I call like the stock market. They're up one year, they're down the next, up one, down the next. And it's high highs and low lows. You know, 2 years ago, they won one Big Ten game. But Pat Fitzgerald, when he was the coach there, won like, you know, or contended, I think he won four Big Ten either championships or divisions. And at a place like Northwestern, that's pretty good. I promise you, if you go and look, the years that the stock market for them was up were years they didn't suffer a lot of injuries. The years where they struggled, they suffered injuries. And that is always going to be the case for Minnesota. People forget last year that there was some injury issues, as we mentioned, Taylor, you know. And by the way, Taylor is still an injury risk. He has been nursing some sort of an injury. I heard from one of the reporters yesterday, Ryan Burns from Gopher Illustrated. He was on a radio show up here. He pegs it at 50-50 whether he's even available next Thursday to start the
opener. Really?
So, you know, so that becomes a factor. And so depth and injuries can certainly play, particularly at places like, you know, these mid-level teams. And particularly now, you look, it is daunting. You look at, like, you call up your phone, you know, and you click on ESPN's app or CBS Sports app, and you click on the standings and hit Big Ten. You need an 80-inch HD screen to get all 18 teams on one screen. You got to scroll. That's daunting. Like teams, I'm going to say 4 or 5 through all the way to even 18. Like Indiana's picked 17th. They got a bunch of transfers who won a lot of games at James Madison. Like and their schedule does not include some of the teams that they usually had to play with Michigan and Ohio State every year coming out of the East. They're going to win some games. The Gophers don't have them on the schedule, but I'm saying 4 through, you know, I think it's, you know, Michigan, maybe the top four, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon. That's probably a tier in and of itself. And then from that point back, it's going to be dependent on who you play and how healthy you are and how much luck you have. And, you know, it might be like Big Ten basketball where two games separate 5th through 16th, you know, especially when you're only playing 12 games. So it's daunting. And so if you get nicked up and you lose two games because your quarterback's hurt, that moves you maybe from 5th to 15th. And and you look terrible when you look at the standings and you're sitting at 15th. So I think health, and that's kind of a cop-out answer, but I really think if they can stay healthy and stop the run, and we've already assumed through our make-believe situation here that Brosmer's going to be good, I think they're going to be good. If they can stay healthy, avoid the injury bug, certainly they'll have some nicks and bruises, but if they can avoid major injuries, if Brosmer can play all 12 games, if Darius Taylor can, you know, play all 12 games, but probably they'll need to manage his workload a little bit, then I like where this team could head for sure, even with a more daunting schedule than they've had in a while.
I think we can be positive until proven otherwise. I think I'm going with that attitude when it comes to the Gophers into the season. That's Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers, for the Leo Field Radio Sports Network. Mike, as always, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk again soon. Have a good one.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it. Thank you.